In the wake of the Sandy Hook mass shooting in 2012, bereaved families sued gun manufacturer Remington Arms. After 5 years of delays, that lawsuit is now moving forward. And as Connecticut Public Radio's Ryan Lindsay reports, the case could offer a window into how the gun industry thinks and operates.
A survivor and nine families whose loved ones died in the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School have been trying to hold Remington accountable. They allege that the company irresponsibly marketed an AR-15-style rifle by using military-inspired imagery and rhetoric that talked about fighting enemies and carrying out missions. Despite years in and out of court, the families haven't given up. Here's their attorney, Josh Koskoff.
It really is a testament and stands for the perseverance of the families I represent who undertook this lawsuit knowing full well that it was going to be a battle.
Remington did not respond to requests for comment. They've argued that the claims against them don't violate federal or state statutes. In late 2019, the U.S. Supreme Court declined Remington's appeal to block the lawsuit. Now the case is slated to be in a Connecticut court in 2021. Koskoff says their lawsuit shows just how much a federal law continues to shield gun companies from liability.
In a way, it's a testament to the strength of their immunity statute that this is a notable exception.
The statute Koskoff is talking about is a federal law called PLACA. The Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act generally prevents most victims and survivors of gun violence from suing gun companies.
The difference with the gun industry is that every other industry has been answerable in a court of law and had to fork over documents that they weren't happy about forking over.
Take the tobacco industry, for example. After years of legal battles, tobacco companies were forced to hand over millions of documents that showed they knew the dangers of smoking.
I think we can see that tobacco playbook in general being deployed by the gun industry. And in this litigation, there may well be documents that show or shed light on the role of an individual corporation.
That's Lisa Graves with the Center for Media and Democracy, a corporate watchdog and consumer advocacy organization. She's been tracking the tobacco and gun industry since the 1990s. And she says, unlike the tobacco industry, the gun industry has never been forced to make public what it considers private.
I don't think that they should be able to rest behind defenses that, you know, they're not responsible at all for how their product is used, especially when it's used specifically, in essence, as designed.
The tobacco playbook Graves mentioned is being used by both sides. Remington is fighting hard in court, and the families allege that Remington's marketing enticed people like the Sandy Hook shooter, who was already obsessed with violence. Connecticut's Unfair Trade Practices Act does not allow business practices that are, quote, immoral, unethical, oppressive, or unscrupulous. That criteria was adopted from cigarette regulations. The next step in figuring out if that allegation holds is what's called discovery, when lawyers for both sides gather information in preparation for a trial.
The discovery process itself may reveal details about the process of gun designs and marketing and sales and distribution that is right now proprietary and not well known or appreciated by regulators.
That's Timothy Litton, a law professor at Georgia State University. He says this case is not just about who wins or loses.
The litigation is likely to put pressure on gun manufacturers, even if Remington wins, to think about maybe altering their designs and some of their marketing techniques and their distribution practices.
The plaintiffs plan to request internal emails, marketing plans, documents, as much as they possibly can from Remington. And they plan to get depositions from decision makers at the company, people who said yes, who design marketing campaigns, who may have known the risks. Litton has some ideas about what could happen if that information comes out.
And it might have a marginal effect in reducing, for example, the lethality of new weapons that are being designed or the risk of illegal straw purchases through controls in the supply chain, and also the promotion of a culture that tends to glorify gun violence in certain segments of the market.
Discovery is not a quick process, but leading up to the 2021 trial date, the families could finally get what they've been looking for. Answers. Ryan Lindsay, Connecticut Public Radio.